Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's draft day in Nashville. Welcome in. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3. The game, Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, the reporter Nick Keezer. And finally, thank the good Lord above, it is here. Draft day. Tonight, it all gets underway around 7 o'clock. Roger Goodell will make his power walk across the stage and say welcome to the 2023 NFL Draft.
Can't
Michelle,
wait to see you,
I am pumped. I know you're pumped. You're tired, and rightfully so.
Can you see the designer bags under my eyes?
I wore my
glasses to hide them. Yes, amazing game 5 in Memphis last night. Went there to cover it for the game. Did get back at 2 a.m. and did wake up for Robbie and Rexford at 4:20. So we are running on 2 hours right now.
I'm not gonna lie.
I am
just letting you know how proud I am of you. But I was fully expecting a phone call. Like, I was expecting a phone call this morning, either from you or David Janes, of like, hey, Michelle can't make it.
I was ready for it. I'm on it. I know when I do something like that, it is a stretch. But today's a Thursday, which means tomorrow's Friday, so we have the weekend.
You can teach the youth of America what responsibility is.
Yeah, there you go.
Because you are responsible, and I'm very proud of you.
I get anxiety. I mean, if I didn't wake up for work.
So, obviously, a lot of draft talk today. We're from 10 to 10:30. Yes. I'm very excited about this. We're going to do what we have dubbed our Friends of the Show draft.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what we're going to do, it's open for all of you as well.
Yes.
And so we've got some people lined up, some voices you know, some actual friends of ours as well, maybe a boyfriend. We have them lined up, and we're going to call them, and then you can call in as well, and you're just going to give who you believe the Titans will pick, whether it's at 11 or trading up or trading back. It doesn't matter. So really looking forward to that. But we'll also take your calls and your texts all show long on the Titans, 615-737-1025, because there's a lot of stuff out there. But real quick on your trip to Memphis, I was watching everything on social media that you were posting, and I saw your Instagram story, and I have to admit this, that I had like a little moment of jealousy when you had LeBron. And I was like, she was like 10 feet away from LeBron James.
I will say, you know, I've covered a lot of big-time college basketball, NFL games. And there's only been a couple moments, I'd say, in my career thus far, only at 25, that I've had a, wow, like kind of take it in for a second. This is a playoff game, game 5. LeBron's 38 years old. We don't know how much longer he is going to play, sitting here listening to him. And I definitely was high on adrenaline on the drive home. But, yeah, it's pretty incredible. You know, you look back at that and you think, you know, we just broke the scoring record that we never thought would be broken, right? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar broke his record. So pretty incredible. I don't care how you feel about LeBron, but you have to respect that the guy is a legend. So I believe, and I will say it right now before we get into more NFL draft talk, Chase, but that Lakers team with the quick turnaround right now, AD last night said that he's getting treatment on his hip round the clock. LeBron talked about his fatigue. You know, their coach talked about his fatigue. This Memphis Grizzlies team, they push the tempo. They get points in transition. They can outwork this Lakers team and just get them really tired. With these quick turnaround games for 6 and 7, if it goes to 7, I really do like the Grizz. a younger team. You know, their legs are fresh, but, you know, LeBron, I understand he's LeBron and he can go off, but you could tell he was, I mean, he said it himself. He didn't play well last night.
Right. So obviously a lot will happen with that, but now it is time. The draft. It is finally here. They have the clock on ESPN right now, 9 hours, 55 minutes and 40 seconds until the National Football League's draft. What will the Tennessee Titans do? There is speculation everywhere, including this morning, Diana Russini, who we know. Diana is very connected to this team. She has sources. I think we all kind of can put some dots together on one of them, but she is certainly in tune with the team. And so when she reports something, I pay attention to it with the Tennessee Titans. This was Diana Russini earlier today.
What's the latest on what you're hearing on the Titans' draft plans tomorrow night?
Field, I sat with Titans' new GM, Rand Carthon, in his office to go over the mood of the building on draft eve, as well as try to get more information as to what they are going to do with that pick at 11. And he tells me they're really calm, they're prepared. In fact, head coach Mike Vrabel and him sat together for 2 hours and they set their draft board. They are ready to go for Thursday night. So what are they going to do with their pick at 11? Carthon tells me they're open to everything. They're willing to move out. They're willing to stay. They're also willing to move up. In fact, I spoke to some sources around the league, teams like the Arizona Cardinals, who have taken calls from the Tennessee Titans about perhaps trading up. Now, the player they're going for, Carthon wouldn't tell me what they're doing, but my sense is the Tennessee Titans have their eyes on a quarterback, and they're going to do everything they can to go get him.
Okay, the question is, which quarterback do they have their eyes on?
Mm-hmm.
Who do they fancy, as they like to say? So let's go through Bryce Young. The only thing we know about this draft is Bryce Young is going to go number one overall.
Yes, we do know that. I am 99.7% sure that that is going to happen, but I always leave a little point through.
I am 102.5% sure.
Okay.
See what I did there? 102.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Listen, the brain's a little
I understand. I'm here to help. But I think Bryce Young is going to go number one overall without a shadow of a doubt. The Houston Texans hold all the cards. They control this draft right now at number two because they can stand pat and take C.J. Stroud or Will Anderson or whatever. But whatever they decide to do is going to be a domino effect for the rest of the draft, I believe.
100%.
They could trade out. Diana said there that, you know, the Titans could trade up. I'm starting to I don't know what the hell they're going to do, but, like, I wouldn't be shocked there. They could take Houston could take Will Levis, 2 overall, which is you look at how the odds have gone with that, it's trending in that direction. I saw this morning, Music City Bets reported that FanDuel now has the Titans as the, let's see, for the first time since they posted draft odds, FanDuel has quarterback as the odds-on favorite for the Titans to draft, minus 175. That opened at 12-1.
Wow. So that's moving up swiftly. And, you know, John McClain, who we're going to have on with us too, he said,
I can't wait.
He said yesterday in his final mock draft, he was on 107.5 The Fan in Houston yesterday, that he believes they will take Will Levis at 2. So I think one of the biggest questions becomes, okay, Houston has their second pick and they have 12 in the first round. So, you know, they could be in an interesting situation where if they want to get a high level defensive player or just a high level guy, right? Like a Will Anderson at 2, because they don't want, you know, Arizona, if they're unable to get out of that third overall pick, they don't want to let Will Anderson go and have Arizona be able to get him. So if they want to take their second overall pick and they don't want to go quarterback, I would, just because you don't know, somebody could swoop up the guy that you want. But I understand if you want to Will Anderson, you're in an interesting position where you have a 12th overall pick. So then you could find a team like the Lions, or you could find a team like the Seahawks. Maybe you could trade up with them And then you would kind of have the best of both worlds, because Houston right now is working with two first round picks. And that's why they're in an interesting situation. Think about it. They're 12. They're right behind the Tennessee Titans. And that's their second first
round
pick.
Right.
So they have options to be able to, okay.
They're in a good spot.
If we want to use our second overall pick and we want to get a Will Anderson, we'll just use him for example right now. Arizona is having a hard time getting out of that third pick right now, because I think, and we've been saying this the entire time regarding these quarterbacks, they're very polarizing. And what has been the vibe, the chatter among media, among everybody who watches this league, is that people have no idea what is going to happen, probably other than Bryce Young going number one overall. But honestly, if you were to tell me any situation for a team to go up and get one of these quarterbacks, I wouldn't be surprised, just because they're all viewed so differently. And with the recent C.J. Stroud sliding down, you know, does that mean a Will Levis is sliding up? The betting odds were in his favor a couple days ago. So, you know, everything is constantly moving right now. And I just can't say how excited I am for 7 p.m. tonight, Chase.
I am super excited. And be sure to join us. We'll be at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, Chris Sanders. I'll be there. I know Caroline's coming by. We will have coverage beginning at 6 o'clock with our draft show, Draft Night in Nashville. So really looking forward to that, as you can join us there. What will the Tennessee Titans do with their first selection tonight? Will it be at 11? Will they move up? Will they move back? What do you think? 615-737-1025. You can call. You can text. It is final prediction time when it comes to the draft, but we want to hear from you throughout the show. We're up and running on this draft day, on this Thursday. How will we feel if this happens? Could take this anywhere. We'll do that next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
That's the wild card in this. I actually think the other team, that if Houston really is trying to move up to get a quarterback, and again, if they're quote-unquote trying to be cute about it, the team that I would worry about, I think it's the Titans. Because the Titans, there have been things done by the Titans that are actually hard data points. You don't talk to other teams about potentially offloading Ryan Tannehill if certain conditions, you know, transpire. You don't talk about unloading Ryan Tannehill unless you're seriously thinking about making the move for a quarterback, okay? So that happened. We talked about that on this show. That happened. That was, we're talking about weeks ago, right? And my guess is it was even – you probably go back to the NFL meetings in Arizona when I think that really started to get a little bit of traction. Then you have, you know, people who are close to people in the organization, in the media, who start to talk about, hey, wait a minute. Sounds like the Titans are thinking about moving up, like potentially going and getting a quarterback. That's another piece of information that then gets out there that lets people know, other NFL teams know, hey, the Titans might be interested in moving up. So, A, if you need a veteran quarterback, that's a team to call. And then, B, if you want to move back in the draft, that's a team to call. So I think Houston sits there and goes, they're interested. Now we have to be worried about, we call Arizona and we say, we know you guys want a tackle. 3 is rich for any tackle in this draft. 11 is not. 12 is not, right? So if you're going to take Paris Johnson, maybe you get him at 11.
Love it. That scare you?
Yes.
Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. That was Charles Robinson earlier today, Yahoo Sports, on Robbie and Rex Road. And that's the rumor. And I loved, by the way, if you miss Charles Robinson, number one, don't. But if you do, go to thegamenashville.com. He did an amazing job today, kind of taking you behind the curtain, explaining how it works to be an insider and clues to look for. And if you're a young reporter, I mean, and I call Nick the reporter. I know his aspirations. That's why I call him that. For you, Nick, listening to somebody like Charles Robinson, I think is hugely beneficial, because he is one of the best. He's a pro, and some of the stuff that he talked about today was awesome.
Well, he also went into just this time of year too. What is posturing? What are GMs trying to get rumors out there? How can you kind of decipher between the two and building those relationships with those insiders. And he even talked about, you know, one time he got burned and he came into contact with a GM who told him something so that word would get out that they like a certain player, but that wasn't the case. So, you know, hearing that from him, it kind of allows you, maybe if you're a fan looking from the outside in, you know, why are all these rumors coming out? Well, a lot of it is this chess game that GMs and organizations and coaches are playing, because a lot of times they view certain players really similar. The players who are going to be at the top of the draft, everybody knows the players who are going to be at the top of the draft. This year is a little bit interesting, obviously, because of all the quarterbacks.
They know the players. They don't know where they're going to land.
Exactly. They don't know where they're going to land. So they try to put these things out. They try to get reporters to call, hey, Chase, you're with the Texans. I want to call you. Did you hear this about the Colts liking Will Levis? Right? There's all this movement and flowing conversation happening. And I just thought Charles had an interesting perspective kind of from the inside side of it. And it makes these things, it makes a little bit more sense if you have trouble following. Wow, words hard.
This is an unnamed texter on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Feel free to weigh in throughout the show. Who do you think the Titans will take? What do you think their strategy is going to be tonight in the draft? They say, if Levis, Richardson, or Stroud is available at 11, I think the Titans will take them. If not, they will trade back and select Hooker with 41 if available. Question, if they trade back, would you trade for picks this year or next year as a general focus? If you trade back, you're getting extra picks this year. You only have six.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you, number one, I don't think Hooker's there at 41. So if you trade back from 11 and you still want a quarterback and you want Hendon Hooker specifically, I think you're trading back into the 20s and you're hoping that he's going to be there. Then you take him and then you take your receiver at 41.
Yeah, I agree. I think Seattle is 20th.
Yeah.
I think Seattle's 20th. That was a position I was looking at, unless they try to take him at 20, because I could see that, and I actually like that situation for a Hendon Hooker under a Pete Carroll, under a Geno Smith, develop, recover from that ACL. But to your point, Chase, I agree. If you're looking to trade back, I don't think that you'd be able to get a Hendon Hooker unless it was extra picks in the first round. You were trading back in the first round, and you know, on Stillman and Company, they did the mock draft, and Jared had the Washington Commanders draft Hendon Hooker. And I actually, that is a team that I've been looking at. And, you know, when we talked about Ryan Tannehill and, you know, what is a destination where he could be open to a trade or an organization needs a quarterback, they actually were a team that I was looking at and thinking, you know, you got a stud wide receiver, you got a solid defense. They're a team with now a new offensive coordinator in Bienemy, they're a team that needs a quarterback.
Yeah.
Sam Howell is not going to do it, right? I mean, having an elite wide receiver like that and, you know, a solid defense and
Woof.
A pretty productive offense, you need something better than that.
You and Junie talked to Ross Tucker yesterday from
Yes.
Westwood One, who's an analyst for them. Ross, I've always enjoyed having Ross on,
yeah.
But he gave his thoughts on some surprising first-round guys.
For you, what prospect is going to get picked in the first round that nobody is mocking to go in the first?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, it's funny because I might be the wrong person to ask about that, because I've looked at so many mock drafts that I feel like I've seen 50 guys, you know, going in different first rounds. So I don't know that anybody I would give you would be, you know, all that stunning. You know, that would really surprise you. I think that's what's so interesting about this draft in particular, right, is that there's, I don't know, only 15 guys that are considered, like, really good, you know, first-round pick types. So I guess what's interesting to me is, like, you're going to have guys go in the first round, and a lot of them that other years might not be first-round picks. I mean, I don't know if these guys would excite you. Matthew Bergeron, offensive lineman from Syracuse. I mean, I guess it wouldn't surprise you if either one of the Tennessee receivers, Cedric Tillman or Jalin Hyatt, went in the first round. I don't think they will, but that would be a little bit surprising to some people.
That was Ross Tucker yesterday. And, you know, along those lines, like, so this just fits my narrative of, I think this draft is going to be drunk. Like, this is going to be the most unpredictable draft that we've had in a long time. And I thought last year had some of that, but like this is going to be, I think, even more. And it's because of the quarterbacks. It's because nobody really knows exactly what these quarterbacks are going to be in this draft. But like I'm having a text conversation with Robbie right now of, you know, people saying that, okay, you'll trade back and it's easy to trade back. If the quarterbacks are gone, what's to trade for? I mean, really, to me, that's going to be the movement. But if they end up, you know, if things move around the way they could and they're gone, you know, within the first the top four quarterbacks are gone within, you know, the first six picks or so, then what's the point?
Yeah, and also, too, you know, the sentiment of, we'll just trade back, we'll just trade back. Okay, well, you need a team who wants to trade up. I mean, look at Arizona right now. For weeks now, they've been saying, hey, we're at number three. Who wants to trade? Who wants to get us out of the third overall pick? And we saw the 49ers a couple years ago get into that third overall pick to go and get Trey Lance a couple days before the draft, right? I mean, they are trying to get out of the third overall pick right now, and teams, it wouldn't surprise me if draft day that happened, but teams are Arizona is trying to get teams to, you know, trade up with them. And, you know, when you look at the Tennessee Titans at 11, it's really easy to say, oh, well, I don't really like any of these quarterbacks in this draft class. Why don't you try to trade back to 20 and then maybe you can get a Hendon Hooker? And these are all what if scenarios. I think it's easy to be like, okay, well, if we do this, we trade back, we're going to collect all these picks, we still can get Hendon Hooker, we'll have extra draft capital. But the likelihood of that happening, I mean, yeah, I'm sure that'd be a great plan. Trade back, get extra picks. You believe Hendon Hooker's your guy, you can get him at 20. Yeah, that sounds great, but what's the likelihood of that happening in a team actually wanting to trade up to 11? Because I look at 11 and I think there might be one quarterback left.
Right, I know. So we're gonna do this like quick hitters, but I'm gonna throw this at you,
okay.
And I'm putting you on the spot. But I want you to give me your just knee jerk feeling. How will you feel if the Titans draft CJ Stroud?
Surprised.
Because he's fallen, or they moved up.
Surprised because they didn't have him here.
Right.
And that was something Rand Carthon really harped on in his press conference. We want to get to know the specific person. It was just Vrabel and Tim Kelly up in Columbus for his pro day. I'm sure they met with him, you know, one-on-one, but it would surprise me because they didn't bring him here to the facility and host him for a visit.
Okay. Will Levis.
I will feel weird because... Okay, weird isn't a good one. That's not a feeling.
Well, because he puts mayonnaise in his coffee and you tried that yesterday.
I do not recommend. I think I'll feel content because...
Ooh, that's a good word. Content. That's a good way to put it.
Content because there's been so much talk surrounding these quarterbacks. I really do think that the time right now is to get one because they can sit a year behind Ryan Tannehill. And I do think that that's really beneficial for a young guy. And I think it'll be really beneficial to a guy like Will Levis, who is still not fully developed and needs to work on his accuracy and footwork. And I think that learning behind a guy like Ryan Tannehill can be really beneficial for him. But there's obviously some hesitations with his accuracy. And we truly won't know those answers until we see him as a starting quarterback. So it'll be content and then just kind of wait and see.
Okay. Anthony Richardson.
Surprised.
Yeah.
So that I think is the least likely one.
But
in
you
my
know
head,
what?
In my head.
But you know what? I think now, and I might be like Jared drinking the Kool-Aid, the Florida orange Kool-Aid, but I think I might be the most excited if they were to do that.
Yeah. He scares me, and I understand, you know, risk it to get the biscuit. You got to risk it to get the biscuit, and you got to go big if you believe that this guy could have the highest ceiling. But at the same time, I do think his floor is the lowest.
Okay. Non-quarterbacks. Zay Flowers.
Not at 11.
Not at 11.
But
I did see this last night.
Oh, I know.
You probably know the tweet I'm talking about. So this was ML Football. Boston College superstar wide receiver Zay Flowers' final official visit was with the Tennessee Titans, who pick at 11 tomorrow night. And while he was leaving, they told Zay, quote, get used to Nashville, source says. I wouldn't take him at 11. I like him, but I wouldn't take him at 11.
Maybe he's going to the Colts and he can just visit here once a year.
Maybe so. I wouldn't take him at 11. Peter Skoronski.
Love that Skoronski. At 11. I understand people, the hesitation between, are you going to draft a guard at 11? Well, I believe he's a guy who can be versatile. I don't think his arms are a little T-Rex arms, even though everybody's freaking out that he's got short arms. It's like the Kenny Pickett and the small hands last year. I think he is a guy who could be another fundamental piece to this offensive line, which is young right now. You know, you talk about Andre Dillard. You talk about adding him. You talk about PT, Nicholas Petit-Frere. I know that Brewer and Brenskill, they're a little older, but you talk about that, a guy who could be an offensive lineman for you for the next 10 years.
And then Paris Johnson.
Same way as Peter Skoronski. I really like both of those guys. You know, I know people, or I know Jared at least, said that he didn't love that Petit-Frere started over him at Ohio State, but he redshirted and then it was his first year. But I pretty much view both of those offensive linemen pretty equal.
Yeah. All right, 615-737-1025. You can continue to weigh in on our text line. There's a few that we'll read coming up about what you think the Titans will do tonight. I'm going to throw this out there, too. I've never done this before, but, like, we're doing our Friends of the Show draft from 10 to 10:30. I would love it if, like, there's somebody semi-famous listening that just randomly calls in.
Hey, Taylor Swift.
T-Swift, hey, I'll see you next weekend, babe. So.
Oh, my gosh, is it already next weekend?
It's already next weekend. So if Taylor Swift called in... I might have to take tomorrow off.
Taylor, if you are listening and you called in, I don't know if Chase would even be
able
to
speak. Oh,
it'd
be awesome. Some of my friends would be jealous for sure. Also, Josh Heupel was on ESPN Radio this morning and had something very interesting to say about his quarterback, Hendon Hooker. We'll discuss that next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Well, I think he's going to have to continue to grow under center. In what we do, we're in the gun, a majority of what we do. So he's going to have to continue to grow in that way. But his exposure and his growth, what he's done on the collegiate level, I do think that he'll be able to correlate what he's getting in the playbook with whichever franchise he goes to and be able to correlate it to something that he's done, which will allow him to grasp it and control it and go execute it at a really high level really quickly. I'm really excited about what's going to happen for him tonight.
That was Josh Heupel, Tennessee Vols coach, earlier today on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max of ESPN Radio. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, talking draft. Also, just saw this sad news: Jerry Springer, talk show host, passing away at the age of 79. So,
rest in peace.
I know. Wow, that's big. That distracted me. Sorry. Josh Heupel saying that about Hendon Hooker. I found that interesting when I heard that earlier today of just, in a lot of quarterbacks that come out of a college-type offense, that was the talk with Mariota, that they don't play under center a lot, and that's a struggle. But that's why I think if whoever takes Hendon Hooker, you're taking him to sit for a year and to learn because he's still recovering from the ACL, but you're not asking him to go out day one. So I think you have that benefit. Like, I think one of the struggles with Mariota was you had to start him day one, and he was learning on the fly. I am convinced if Marcus Mariota sits for a year, his career probably goes a different direction.
Yeah, I mean, it's fundamental, right? It's I don't even know what word I just said. Fundamental. It's so important in their development. I mean, we talk about the Patrick Mahomes. We talk about the Josh Allens being able to sit 1 year and just have that transition into the NFL and not have to worry about starting on Sundays in the fall and actually winning with your team. And I look at Hendon Hooker and I understand that comment from Josh Heupel. That's been one of his knocks too. Not only that he's coming off the ACL, but the offense that he ran in college, right? A lot of his wide receivers were out wide. And, Jalen Hyatt wide open a lot. But he has made some difficult throws, some contested throws in college. But the offense is different, and it wasn't an NFL offense. And I know that, some mock drafts have knocked Hendon Hooker for that. Some say that it doesn't really matter. But also something that I wanted to bring up, too, that we haven't talked about. You know, when all these S2 scores came out last week, we talked a lot about C.J. Stroud's, and we never talked about Hendon Hooker's. I mean, he got like a 46 on it.
Yeah.
Compared to Anthony Richardson, 79, Bryce Young, 98, Will Levis, 93. You know, that's also something to take into play. I don't think that you can quite pull parallels between the offense that he ran in college, it being simpler than an NFL offense, and his S2 score. But I will say, when these S2 scores did come out and we saw that C.J. Stroud got an 18 and it just didn't really match up, and there's been some conflicting reports on if he took it again and he got a different score, but we don't know that score. That Hendon Hooker got, you know, just about average in that. And, you know, is that something that, you know, will he have a harder time learning and understanding a complex NFL offense, right? These are all questions that you add, because when you look at the S2 and when you look at somebody's film and you look at their age and you look at your injury history, right, all of these things go into evaluating any type of player and specifically a quarterback. So I just thought that was something that we haven't really discussed on the show because of C.J. Stroud's score being so glaring.
Yeah, I think, look, it's important to bring that up, but I did like what Charles said this morning, Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, what he said earlier about the S2 testing, and I think it goes back to Rand Carthon, too, and what he said. They're still learning it, and so,
yeah.
You know, there's reports that some of these guys retested and did better when they retested, and this is going to be a ever-evolving thing, I believe. And that's what we all have to be prepared for, is I think it's going to be a good tool, but it's going to evolve. This was Jared yesterday, I believe, was talking about Hendon Hooker, and like he's one that he's focused a lot on Anthony Richardson. Jared has a man crush. Anthony Richardson, and I'm kind of starting to get it too. But he was talking more about Hendon Hooker and the possibility there. This was Jared on the bust potential of Hendon Hooker.
No, we promise. It's not as simple as Hendon looks out there and says, you on you, I'm throwing it deep. I promise it's more complicated than that, because it's going to be way more complicated when he gets into the NFL. But if you didn't play in a pro-style offense, and you've got all these gimmicks, and you're already 25 years old, and you're coming off of a torn ACL, and you're not an average processor, that is concerning. So we all think Hendon Hooker's a safe pick. And I'll say this, I believe in the kid. And I believe in the fact that he did raise that Tennessee program from the ashes of mediocrity. But at the same time, I'm worried he may be a bust. Like, all that stuff, it's starting to pile up when it comes to Hendon Hooker.
Okay, so that's Jared. Now, that's Jared.
I agree with him. I agree with everything he just said there. And I've been a little hesitant to come out and really say that just when talking about quarterbacks and in everything this season, because I know I'll get, well, she went to Kentucky and she's a Kentucky homer and she likes Will Levis and blah, 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 and all this stuff. But, you know, I think we also look at that Tennessee team in last year and need to understand that his offensive line, too. We talk so much about the wide receivers. His offensive line and Darnell Wright as his right tackle was so incredibly talented last year. And, you know, it allowed him to, when he wasn't able to make, you know, a quick throw right off the bat. I mean, they gave him time back there. I think if you watch the Georgia game, it was one of the games that he significantly struggled in, because Georgia was a team who actually understood Tennessee's offense. And I think that, you know, I look at the Kentucky game and everybody is like, Hendon Hooker lit Kentucky up. I'm like, yes, he did. That Kentucky defense had no idea what they were doing out there. They had absolutely no idea, no answer for that offense. And that's what we talked a lot about during Tennessee's football season. I am not taking anything away from Hendon Hooker. He was a phenomenal college quarterback. He was the best college quarterback in football this year. But how does that translate to the NFL when these offenses are a lot more complex? Jared mentioned the processing thing, him scoring just about average, about in the 50 percentile on the S2 scoring. He's coming off his ACL injury. He's already 25 years old. You know, what does that look like? And I don't disagree with anything he said.
We will see. We will see how it all shakes out with him. All right, tune in tonight. Our draft coverage will begin at 6 o'clock. We will be from Twin Peaks and Cool Springs, but have our draft coverage tonight. Also tomorrow we'll be at Wingstop in Inglewood. Our coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, thenewcumberland.com, Smoky Mountain Tops, Parman Energy, B&B Flooring, and the Nashville Sheriff. It is almost here. Also, our friends of the show draft coming up in about 15 minutes here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds baseball tonight at 6:35, 94.9 The Fan. They got a big win last night against Omaha. Made my debut for the season. It was good to go check out a Sounds game. They'll take on the Omaha Storm Chasers, AAA affiliate of the Kansas City Royals. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. We're here at the Hilder Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Our friends of the show draft coming up in just a few minutes. So really looking forward to that. We'll have some surprises of people you know and our actual friends. And
people you can meet.
Yeah, people you can meet.
Exactly. Ryan from Chicago will be making
Ryan
his debut on the air.
Chicago. I think that's going to be cool. We got a couple people from 102.9 The Buzz.
Yep.
That are going to call in. So
An old friend, Mr. Porth, who is actually Ryan in Chicago.
Yeah, he is. You're right. Randy Porch, known affectionately on Broadway at times before he was a husband and father. But looking forward to that. All right, some texts that I wanted to get to. Terry in Clarksville might have the most logical thing for the Titans to do, even though I don't think they're going to do it. But this might be the smartest text we've gotten today. He says, trade back to number 17 with Pittsburgh, pick up another second-round pick, and then take an offensive tackle at 17. Now, I don't know exactly who might be there at 17, but I think trading back and adding a pick, I do like that.
So, our Steelers resident here, Junie, when he filled in yesterday, you know, he's all in
Junie
on that.
Riddle.
He's all in on that Pittsburgh Twitter and everything like that. But he said actually Pittsburgh is a team that's looking to get up there because they want to draft an offensive lineman. Hmm. So, I mean, at 11, you're in prime position where you could get a Paris Johnson Jr., a Peter Skoronski, even a Darnell Wright, you know, depending on what.
I have not heard good things about Darnell Wright.
So I saw Bob McGinn, who came out with the story about all the S2 scores last Friday, also came out with something on Darnell Wright. And essentially an overview of the article was that, you know, he has so much talent. He has a lot of potential, but his work ethic isn't quite there. And he has a lot of unused potential. So how will that translate to the next level? That is a little concerning, especially when college football compared to the NFL, I mean, you're taking it up 10 notches when you go into the NFL, and it's your entire life, and you need to eat, sleep, breathe football, especially here in this organization. And the Steelers are very similar. Mike Tomlin and Mike Vrabel have that, you know, defense, tough mentality, just old school coaching type mentality. And that does concern me a little bit about Darnell Wright, but
yeah,
he obviously has been successful. It's just that work ethic question.
Yeah, and that's what really bothers me.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, if he's taking games off and stuff like that.
See, you can't teach talent, and you can have it, but hard work can surpass talent.
And you can't teach that.
No,
not at all. Okay, another one. Justin from Greenbrier. I would love if the Titans take Hendon Hooker just because I really think he has what it takes. For those of us who listen to the show but don't research these things, what does S2 measure? It's a cognitive test, so it's got a and this is like the new thing, but it basically, I would say in a nutshell, Michelle, is how you think and process through situations within a game.
Yes, 100%. And they have a system that can essentially simulate a linebacker rushing you. They can simulate different football scenarios that you potentially could be in as a quarterback. And as Chase said, it measures a bunch of different things. Some of them are perception speed, rhythm control, timing control, distraction control, impulse control, stopping control. So all of these things that essentially can give your brain a score on how you would perform in a situation in an NFL quarterback situation. I mean, it's not perfect, but we had one of the founders of the S2 test on with Robbie and Rexrobe last week, and essentially he said, you know, this isn't supposed to be the end-all be-all, but it's supposed to be a tool that can also factor into evaluating somebody. So I look at it as, to put it in simple terms, take Anthony Richardson and Will Levis. Say you're an NFL GM and you view them very, very similar. Two raw guys, you love their arm strength, you love their physical ability, you worry about the accuracy. Will Levis got a higher score on the S2, but you believe that Anthony Richardson's ceiling is higher. You use it to weigh the pros and the cons of a player.
Greg A. on our text line says, if the Titans take Will Levis and do not have his introductory press conference presented by Duke's Mayo at the Maxwell House Hotel and Metro Center, then the whole PR marketing department should be fired. That's a great text.
Wait. Read that one more time for me. I can't find it on here.
If the Titans take Will Levis and don't have his introductory press conference presented by Duke's Mayo at the Maxwell House Hotel and Metro Center, then PR marketing should be fired. That's pretty funny.
Don't try it. I tried mayo and coffee for you all yesterday. Don't. It was really bad. Nick knows.
Adam in Portland says, we can't listen to Junie after his tight end takes yesterday. Titans need to either first round on the fastest receiver out there or punt the pick.
No. Adam was on one yesterday. He called in. First off, we never said in a first round take a tight end. In the second round, Darnell Washington, 6'7" tight end, 260 pounds, out of Georgia, an absolute monster. I would 100% take him in the second round and get a receiver later in the third. I mean, when you look at this receiver class, it's not like you're having guys who are these elite level wide receivers in the first round when you can get a guy who's pretty much the same, you know, is the same type of player in the third round. Right, we've talked about how this wide receiver class is middle heavy. It's not top heavy, but there are a lot of guys who can just be serviceable guys for you, we think, in the NFL, because obviously we're all just projecting or predicting on what they can be. Listen, Darnell Washington is a dog, Adam, and you get any sort of weapons out there for Ryan Tannehill. I mean, he can be a big body receiver out there, and we know he can block because he's basically going to be a sixth man on that offensive line.
Yeah, 100%. Let's see. Sean says the Titans are 100% bullying the Texans into taking Stroud at 2 instead of this D-man at 2 and trade up for a quarterback or really just take a quarterback at 2. I don't know if they're – I mean, look, there's posturing. I don't know if they're bullying anybody at this point. I mean, it's every team trying to kind of show what they want or trying to get somebody to think what they want.
Yeah, I agree. And to the CJ Stroud point, I know that as of this morning, a lot of people, I'm just looking on Twitter here, a lot of media members are saying after the Diana Rossini report this morning of the Tennessee Titans, you know, calling Arizona and trying to do whatever it takes to get their quarterback, a lot of people are connecting that to a CJ Stroud. But I have a big issue with the team mortgaging so much to get up to 3 if they didn't even have him here in the building had that true visit with him.
Yeah, but I think Vrabel went there. Vrabel knows Ryan Day, and so I think that's why.
But it's different. I mean, remember when we had his name is escaping me, former GM on our show the other
Mark
day.
Dominic.
Mark Dominic. Remember he said having them here in your building is so important. Getting them to know some of your guys, especially at that quarterback position. You know, being able to somewhat measure the heart of the game, which is something that nobody can ever measure, but having them here and getting to know them as a person is so important. And I would just find that if Rand Carthon never even met him, Rand Carthon wasn't there.
Right. I mean, it's a fair point.
Right? I mean, that's the question I have.
All right. It is that time. I am so excited for this. We'll have John McClain at the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour, but up next, Friends of the Show draft. You can participate as well, 615-737-1025. But we're going to load up some people that we've gotten to do this, have some fun. That is next. Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063, The Game.